Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lincioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lincioni, joined as always by my co-host, Cody Thompson. How you doing, Cody?
Swell. Doing swell.
Swell is good. We've got Tracy, our producer, kind of with us, making sure we don't go off topic, and Matt, our engineer. So, Cody, what is today's topic? By the way, before you say it, this is the controversy episode that we talked about last time. We talked about entering the danger. And so this is what we promised everybody. What's the controversy topic today?
It's the elephant in the workplace. That's the title.
That's right. The elephant in the workplace. So what we're going to do today is we're not just going to recognize the elephant in the workplace. We're going to put it right on top of the table and really deal with it. And what we're going to be talking about today is something that everybody's talking about in the news and in the workplace and everywhere else, and that is the impact of vaccine mandates on organizational culture and workplace culture. Mm-hmm. Now, some people are probably thinking, why are you guys talking about this, given what's going on in society? I mean, you might have people not want to listen to your podcast, or they might be offended, or you might get censored. And so the answer to that question, which is a very good one, one we've thought about, is first, we think if we have integrity, we have to talk about this. Enter the danger. This is something that's everywhere around us right now, and it's really affecting people at work. So the only thing worse than talking about this would be not talking about it. And Cody, yep, you had a great perspective about why you thought we should.
Yeah, I think the integrity was sort of the word. I was thinking about this 20 years from now. I have a 3-year-old daughter, you know, and I was thinking, like, at some point in the future, my daughter is going to read about this COVID-19 pandemic and the impact it had in people's lives and their work lives. And
this podcast will definitely be in history books. I mean, we know that.
Exactly. Exactly. It'll be there. And let's say she hasn't been too tired of listening to me. She might say, hey, my dad actually was working for a company that talked about workplace culture and dynamics in the workplace. And I'm reading about all this in my textbooks. I wonder what my dad said at the time that this was happening. And I just felt like, man, if we don't have an episode where we talk about the impact of this, I would feel like we didn't have enough courage, or we sidestepped it for reasons that we shouldn't. And the truth is the whole point of this is that this topic is so polarizing. It does elicit so much like emotion from people on one side or the other that the very point of this is that we need to be talking about it. We can't let it be not talked about. And so this Absolutely. Is the elephant in the workplace. And I feel like, you know, I hope she's proud of me at the end of this in 20 years. We'll just say
very
that.
Good. Yeah, I think about that too with my kids. Sometimes they'll say, Dad, I don't want you to say anything about something. And then I realize, but I think they want us to know that we have the courage to discern that well and enter the danger. And, you know, our listeners know us. This is our 101st episode. And we've heard from people that now that we're back on track, people are like, we're glad you're back. And they know that we're here to bring light, not heat. We're Yep. trying to do things that make the workplace better and people's lives better. And we think people trust us and they understand that we have pure intentions here. So anything that we might say, whether you agree or disagree, you know we're coming from a good place. And so that's really important.
I think it's important too that, like, we had conflict around this very thing. Like, we practice what we preach. We were anticipating, like, hey, what if this happens? Like, we want to handle this in the way that we talk about everything, which is truth and kindness, and like, how do we reason our way through this? But knowing that some people are maybe not going to like it, like you said, we might lose listeners. That's we argued about that and came to the conclusion we still probably, out of integrity, need to have a conversation about
it. Yeah, so, and we hope that's not the case, and we actually think we can deal with this in a way that wouldn't be the case. But if it is, you know, we got to be willing to do that. Second, and this is important, we're not here to advocate for or against the vaccine itself. This is not a medical podcast or a science podcast or a political one. There's plenty of other places to go to get that. We're here to talk about the workplace, and we're not going to denigrate people who disagree with us. We just want people to talk. Enter the danger, anticipate people's objections, and really have good conversation. That's something that we are all about.
As much as my dad wanted me to be a doctor, Pat, unfortunately, I did not actually go through with it. So we're not doctors, but anyway.
My mother-in-law thinks I am a doctor.
Okay.
So now, even though this isn't a science podcast or a medical podcast or political, we're not going to do anything political at all. We do need to kind of lay some groundwork here. So we need to take 2 minutes just to kind of, you know, we've had a year now of experimenting and experiencing the vaccine, and we know exponentially more today than we did a year ago, which is great. And so we want to kind of establish that. What do we know? What do we know that's been verified by science and research and experience, whether it's in Israel or Singapore or in the United States or wherever else in the world, government agencies, medical researchers, doctors, scientists. And there's a few things we have to put out there because it's kind of the underpinnings of having a good conversation. You have to agree on a few facts. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the first one is that even though we were really hoping it would, the vaccine doesn't prevent contraction or transmission of the virus like we hoped it would. You know, we know that people are getting it who have been vaccinated. We know people who are spreading it that have been vaccinated. And that's a bummer because we were hoping it would be like the measles vaccine or smallpox or chickenpox or any of those where you get it, you know, you're not going to, you get the vaccine, you know, you're not going to get the disease and you're not going to spread it. So we know a year later, and it's a bummer that it doesn't quite do that. Okay, we know that. That's not good, but it's just the way it is. We do know, though, it does really prevent many people from having severe reactions when they do get it. That's great news. A lot of people who do contract it don't have very serious symptoms. Beautiful. Okay. Now, we also know that the vaccine, though, doesn't last as long as we'd kind of hoped, you know, and there's discussion about how long it lasts, but it tends to go away. And now that's why we're talking about booster shots and another booster shot and all those things. And then finally, the good news is more than we thought a year ago that natural immunity is actually pretty strong. So those are just the things that we've learned by doing research and looking at the science. And so having said all that, oh, and there's one last thing, and there are side effects. We don't know exactly the extent of those. People have died, which is tragic. And the numbers and all that, we don't know exactly because it's hard to figure this out, but there are real side effects that have had impacts on people. Okay, that's as much science, medical history we're going to go through on that. Having said all that, here's what we're here to talk about today. What does all this talk about mandates, what does it mean for work? And what's going on at two different levels, at the organizational level, at a whole company, and then at the team level, on our teams, in our offices, our departments. And that's what we want to talk about today.
Yeah. And, you know, it kind of makes sense that we spend, you know, 8 hours a day, sometimes more, thinking about company culture, thinking about how is what's going on in the world affecting our teams. And so this is the lens by which we are approaching the conversation, is to go, hey, we spend all of our time trying to create healthy organizations where people are dignified in their work, that they... And that has to do with trust and vulnerability and conflict and decision making. And so this, more than anything, I mean, think about this. What other time, and I've only worked with you for 7 years now, certainly not in that time, but even way beyond that, what other time has almost every single business been experiencing the exact same issue at the same time?
Interestingly enough, Cody, it was 18 months ago.
When we went virtual, exactly.
And imagine if we had not said anything about that. Let's just keep talking. We were like, no, how do you work virtually? How do you do these things? How do you build trust virtually, build teams? And here we are 18 months later, and we're like, oh my gosh, there's people who are getting fired or potentially could get fired because they don't want to get a vaccine. And there are people, what is this doing in the workplace? We have to talk about it, right?
Yep, exactly.
So that's what we're going to do today. So let's look at it like this, Cody. Imagine that, let's just for the sake of discussion, let's say you have a company with 1,000 employees, right? And so how is this going to affect those 1,000 employees? Well, some people might say, you know, there's organizations out there that have as many as 85 or 75% of their employees vaccinated already. So let's say that it's 80% vaccinated. People might think, hey, Pat, 80% are already vaccinated. There's only 20% that aren't. So if the 20% are kind of on the outs, well, at least the majority, the vast majority are vaccinated. You shouldn't have any problem, right? There's some logic to that. I mean, I think frustrating or alienating 20% of your workforce is actually very serious. But some people could say, well, they'll be gone and 80% will be left behind. Well, the danger there is when we think about our people in our organizations in a binary way, they're either vaccinated or unvaccinated, you know, left-handed or right-handed. We miss the nuance here. I think it's a lot more complicated and more nuanced than that. See, I think we have to, Cody, break down those 1,000 employees into 4 groups of employees. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the first group would be, let's say, the people that are vaccinated and they really think the company should mandate the vaccine. Okay. Let's call that, you know, 25% of the workforce, 250. I don't know. That might be a little high, might be a little low. I don't know. I think it's a little high. Then there's going to be another, I think, based on everything I've seen, and 35% who are for the vaccine. They got the vaccine, but they don't want the company to mandate it for everybody else. They're like, hey, I want my colleagues to have the choice, and I don't want the company to mandate things for me in the future that I might not like. And so while I'm all for the vaccine and I'll even try to talk my colleagues into getting it, I don't think the company or the government should be making them do that.
Right.
Okay. So that's interesting. So now we're up to like 60%. And then maybe there's 20% who were not for the vaccine, but they got it because they didn't want to lose their jobs, but they don't want it to be mandated. And they're kind of hurt because they did something that they didn't want to do. And they're like, well, I did it, but I wouldn't do it if I didn't have to. And then there's, let's say, 20% who are like, I'm not vaccinated and I don't want to get vaccinated and maybe I'm going to get fired. Mm-hmm. Suddenly that 80-20 is not what we thought it was. And in fact, and I really believe this to be true, and we're just trying to understand this, the majority of our employees aren't necessarily loving the idea of mandating something that's kind of tearing their culture apart.
Well, I think what's interesting about this is, like, because you're right, there's more nuance there. What tends to happen is that that we don't have the conversation, we don't actually know what those nuances are, so it becomes a binary decision, right? And I think it's really important. Everything that we talk about is around, let's, you know, this is the elephant in the room. Like, we have to have the conversation, and it's a one that's probably laden with conflict, certainly, because people are coming from different perspectives. And but like you said, the only thing worse than not having or than having it is not having it. But what tends to happen is it just goes to, well, in fact, I heard a story where the reason to not have the conversation for one leader is because it was easier. It was simpler.
And right.
And it was like, it's actually easier for me to not go there. I'm just going to decide this, you know? And I think that has real serious implications for everyone, anyone in that scenario, you know what I mean? It's not just like, oh, that's going to piss off one of those groups. It's going to piss off all of those groups.
Yeah. We talk about this, like when you avoid conflict around an issue, and that's what this is, it eventually ferments into conflict around people.
Yep.
So what happens is we just solidify the tribes or the people against one another because we could have let the air out of the balloon like we talked about last time on the podcast. And that's what this needs to happen. We need to go into a room and say, hey, listen, everybody, nobody should denigrate one another for their opinions. And nobody should attack people, you know, ad hominem attacks where they accuse them of something or call them names. That's going to break this culture apart. Let's understand there's valid opinions around and let's do our best to make a decision. Hey, by the way, Cody, I've reached out to some very high profile CEOs who are dealing with this, who are struggling with this. And what I've found is that I think many of them are fine with the vaccine. None of them have said, we like the fact that people are making us do this. In fact, they're really struggling with the fact that they're now being asked to force their employees to do something that they don't want to do. And even though they might say, hey, we'd encourage you to do this, but we don't want to have to fire people for not making that decision. So that's kind of what I've learned in talking to a lot of high profile folks out there.
Right. When it's so, like, everything we talk about on this podcast is, hey, you know what we got to do? We got to go out and we got to find all the people that fit our culture. This is like the values that they bring to the table. And once you have them on the bus, we'll figure out the right seats. Imagine being a CEO in a situation where you're like, it would be great if we could fire 20% of our organizations that didn't fit our culture, you know, but imagine having everyone that you've hired and collected and feel like they fit here and then having to make a decision that maybe you lose some really great people because of a personal decision that they want to make.
What's kind of happening, I hadn't thought about this, Cody, but what's kind of happening is the the government or a company is deciding, we are actually going to add another core value. Mm-hmm. And that is, you have to be willing to get a vaccine. In addition to our other three core values, it's vaccine ready. And regardless of your religious beliefs, your medical history, that's now one of our core values. And if you don't have it, you're gone. That's an interesting way to look at it.
Or the alternative, and I was trying to figure out the right analogy for this, is like, when you talk about solidifying those tribes, you know, like if what we're doing is not having the conversation, the really interesting, unique thing that's going on is like, you don't know, first of all, people don't want to talk about it. So you don't know who falls into what camp, or it's such a hot topic that people don't wade into there. It feels way too dangerous for them. And so what ends up happening is, I was trying to think of an analogy, like sort of like the TV show Survivor, right? Where where you're on the show, and I've literally only seen the commercial, so apologies if I butcher the actual premise of this.
I've watched Survivor years ago a number of times, so.
And I feel like it hasn't changed that much. But what essentially is like, they get together and in secret, they vote off other people. And imagine being a team in an organization where you don't know whether the person sitting across from you at the table making a decision thinks that you're a bad person, thinks that they like kind of villainize the way you think about this, or you don't know if it just erodes trust naturally. I mean, the Survivor people, they're constantly pitting people against each other. I can't think of another place where people who are trying to accomplish something together, but they're secretly undercutting their team members.
Right. Or imagine being in the Donner Party trying to get over the mountains in the snow, and somebody comes and gives you food, and you're not sure if they're giving you that food to keep you alive or to fatten you up so they can eat you eventually. It's like, are you on my team or are you not? And though cannibalism is no laughing matter, the point of the matter is, when we work in an organization, we talk about things like unity and loyalty and morale and cohesiveness. And when a company has a new thing coming in that's dividing people and that they don't even want to talk about, it's impossible to deny that that's going to have a massive impact on morale, loyalty. Are people going to go above and beyond for that company? Even if I get the vaccine, and by the way, nobody here knows what our vaccine status is, and don't try to guess based on what we're saying because you'll probably be wrong. And we have a company with some people vaccinated and some people not. And if you try to guess what it is, like I said, you'll probably be wrong, and it doesn't really matter. But if you have an organization where some people who have gotten the vaccine but are really upset about the mandate, is that going to affect the way they work for that organization? And if they give some of their employees, their coworkers that get fired, are they still going to have the same sense of loyalty? Are they going to brag about that company? Are they going to go above and beyond for customers? I don't know that you can't deny that it's going to have a huge impact.
Right. And I think as we're sitting here having this conversation, I think it's like the what is the analogy? The herring in the coal mine? Who's in the coal mine? Is it
the canary.
Canary. Yeah. Yeah.
No, there's a red herring, but the red herrings don't go into the coal mine.
There you go. I mixed the metaphors there. But like, even as we're sitting here going, there's going to be huge implications to this. I don't even think we know what the ultimate fallout will be of this. Like, we can start to piece together like, wow, I think that's going to undermine trust in a way. I think that's going to make people like not feel, you know, loyal to their employer. But I think 5 years from now, it could do even more dramatic things than we are even thinking today. You know, like, it is a monumental shift in the way that we have for years gone from an increasingly controlled workplace. Like,
50 years ago, your employer told you how to live.
Yes. And then we've sort of, that pendulum has swung to more autonomy, more innovation, less mandate, less control,
diversity,
less mandate.
Freedom.
Yeah.
If, as long as you fit the core values and you get your work done, it's like, let's give people more autonomy and to live the way they want to live and work the way they want to work. That has been absolutely the shift. I mean, we've had a company for 24 years and it's moved in that period of time so much more that way. Mm-hmm. And this represents it's like somebody putting the car in reverse on the freeway and the transmission dropping through the floor. And this is uncharted territory. I've never seen anything at all like this in my life. And I think it's worth saying that given everything that we're talking about here, I do think that these mandates have the potential to diminish and destroy trust, loyalty, and cohesiveness like nothing I've ever seen in the workplace. Mm-hmm. It's kind of knocked me off my chair. And I wonder, like, when I go into a company and there's people on the team and we're talking about their strengths and their weaknesses, their working genius, their Myers-Briggs types, their the mission of the company, and half of them feel one way or two thirds and another third feel another way, I'm not sure how I'm going to help them overcome that.
Right. Well, and you know, it's interesting. Like we always try to make this as practical as we can. So it's like, what do we do if you're a leader? And the first thing is you have to have the conversation. You have to.
Absolutely.
We said, anticipate people's objections. Say, hey, listen, I know this is an inflammatory topic. You open the podcast. The only thing worse than having the conversation is not having it. We just got to get together. Yep. Now, and we talk about the conflict around ideas. You know, this is a prime example of, you say all the time, people need to weigh in before they can buy in. And what this really is skipping that whole process. And look, if there's natural consensus on a team, if your team gets together and you're like, everybody agrees. This is the right move. Great. That's probably pretty unlikely with a circumstance like this. But what you say is, if people have been given a chance to feel heard and at least understood, they can support a decision that they initially didn't agree with. Whether you're on the mandate side or the non-mandate side, if you're in that conversation, you're like, hey, listen, I really see why you're coming to the table with these concerns. I see you. We're going to go in this direction. I mean, that is just a far better way to maintain whatever trust you can than to decisively make a decision without hearing people out.
Absolutely. So that's the first thing we had to talk about. Gosh, and as you were saying that, Cody, I was just thinking about, imagine 10 people sitting around a table because they're on the same team in a company. And they're talking about all this, and somebody says, okay, we don't know if this is coming or not, but if it does come, I'm going to get fired. As somebody on the other side of the table goes, yeah, and I'm going to be, that'll be cool with me. I've never, ever dealt with anything like this in an organization before. So this is going to be uncharted territory. And I just put that out there because I'm like, this is going to be wild. And maybe it won't have to happen. Maybe there's going to be progress that's made. Maybe testing is going to be better. Maybe they're going to roll back mandates because you're going to test people. Because like in our office, if somebody gets sick, we all go home and we get tested and we figured that out. If the government told me I had to fire the people in my organization that weren't vaccinated, I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, we've done a great job over the last 15 months since we've been back to work of really protecting one another and honoring people's different opinions and being really safe about it. If the government came along and said, you have to fire them, I mean, and a lot of businesses are doing this, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And so that's just me being, you know, wouldn't do it.
It's kind of funny. I hadn't actually personalized it in that way, thinking of the 8 people in our office. I know that sounds insane as we're having this conversation, but
I know.
To think that like we're sitting here and, you know, you can name all 8 people and they've been on this podcast, like Tracy, Amy, Karen, you know, Matt, others, to think that one of them would have to leave just because we didn't have control over that decision is so painful, you know?
Especially when we've been so careful and so honoring. And that's what you want on a team is we want people to go, oh, you're a little bit autoimmune compromised. Let's make sure we're taking extra steps for you. Somebody comes and says, hey, I was at church the other day and somebody got it. I might've been exposed. Okay, everybody go home. Let's work remotely for a couple of days, get tested and see where we're at. Yeah. That's working together to protect one another versus us dividing each other to conform and comply. It's an interesting thing. This is like uncharted territory. The other thing, Cody, we have to talk about it. The other thing is, we cannot allow people to feel like their opinions are not respected. You know, we can't self-censor or censor others or allow people to feel denigrated for differing opinions. And that's one of the things about society these days that it's sad. There's so much attack going on and not as much listening. And so as a leader, we have to talk about it and we have to honor people that have different opinions. Pro mandate, against the mandate, pro vaccine, against the vaccine, whatever it is, let's honor one another and assume that they're rational and reasonable. Now, and we're not talking about political grandstanding. We're talking about human beings that are thinking about their own families and their own lives. To call them stupid or a terrorist or a a Nazi, you know, these are the words that are getting thrown out there, is just crazy. And man, yeah. I can't imagine what it would do to a company if you had people that are doing that to one another.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting as you're talking about one of the lenses, we saw this right at the beginning of COVID, right? Which was everybody wanted to think again about the smart side of the organization. Like, what's our best technique for implementing virtual work? That's going to be the thing that helps us. And I think one of the things that we keep trying to demonstrate, and the one thing that keeps coming up, is healthy organizations are pretty messy because you don't, yeah. it's not always simple and clean. Like I think we're doing it again in this, and on this side of the pandemic, where it's like, what's the right policy we should put in place for this mandate situation? Like what's the smart way that we could just make this clean and easy and not have to worry about it? And the truth is, this is horribly messy for for everyone involved. And the messy way might actually be the better way, because you're allowing people in their own dignity to bring their opinions to the table and wrestle with it.
You know, it's funny, Cody, because when you just said that, I thought the two things that you have to protect in an organization are human dignity and love. And I know that sounds really soft, but are people loving each other in the organization, and are they preserving one another's dignity? It's so funny. Just yesterday, I was on a podcast or a webinar, and a woman asked me a question, and she was from, gosh, I want to say Santa Lucia, because that's what they call it, St. Lucia Island. And she said, we're trying to figure out how to get more people vaccinated. And the issue is the vaccine mandates. And we talked about it. And we talked about how if you'd mandate it, you might actually increase resistance if your goal is to get people to do it. Mm-hmm. And if you give people the freedom, perhaps more people will opt in. But those that have religious or medical reasons will still be respected. And she was like, oh my gosh, yeah, we can't just assume that the right way to do this is a black and white mm-hmm. way. We have to ask ourselves what's going to actually accomplish the goal while preserving people's human dignity and sense of love and honor. So I guess that's what we're really arguing for here, is we're saying, let's make sure that we're not, you know, throwing the baby out with the bathwater, because the baby is about human dignity and love.
Yeah. And it really, I think the drum we keep banging is like, you have to have the conversation. Like
absolutely.
Without having the conversation, you can't dignify the other person sitting across the table from you. Regardless of the outcome, that is part of the process, you know? And right. I think that was there was a little trepidation, like, oh, we're going to have the conversation for 25,000 plus people to hear. I think the number one positive thing that could come from this is that listeners feel more comfortable about having the conversation and going there, you know?
Yeah. Isn't it great when people say, I disagree with you, but I understand you and I care about you?
Yeah.
That's when you know things are going well.
Yep.
When people say, I disagree with you and I don't know what you believe and I don't like you anymore. Oh, that tears nations and companies and families apart. And we don't want that. Hey, thanks for doing this with me, Cody.
Yeah. I think we said this in the last episode. I think there's more fear in anticipation of the conversation than there is after you are done with it. Like, that wasn't that scary. And I hope that we handled it in a way that felt like we're opening this up and people are hearing it and they can hear the words that we're saying more than the broad stroke, you know, definitions that we seem to be stuck in these days.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of this, I hope that listeners find at the end of these conversations that, man, that fear was actually a little misaligned. You know,
I feel respected and yep. honored, not denigrated. And who knows, maybe we'll only have 14 people listening to the podcast next week. And I hope not, but we'll do our best for the 14 that are still there.
That's right.
Actually,
That's
we right. hope you'll all join us next week on At the Table, because we really appreciate our listeners. And we want to say thank you for joining us on this, and God bless.